As stated by Niamh Fancy and Laurie Jones, our current understanding of the Black Death is largely defined on the basis of the European plague experience, and assumed to have started with the arrival of the plague in Europe in 1347. It's because of this that we're comparing the current case study of the Black Death to that in China.
That being said, there are now difficulties when exploring this section of Chinese history due to the different ways in which illness was approached, for example, how it was recorded.
Does this mean there are no existing medical records from this time?
Quite the opposite. There are many surviving medical records from China during the Black Death. However, they used the umbrella term of disease to refer to a variety of ailments, rather than characterizing them under specific names.
It is something that Robert Holmes explores in this article, Buboes in the 30th Century, China Evidence from Chinese Medical Writings. It addresses the ways in which new diseases could be recognized without classifying them under different names.
Exactly. Many historians agree that the Black Death actually originated within Asia, some arguing China itself, particularly with new archaeological evidence that links the genome associated with the Black Death Tian Shan, a mountain range in Kyrgyzstan and northwestern China, the Xinjiang Autonomous Region specifically.
I think that it's particularly interesting to note that both places were part of the Mongol Empire during the 14th century. By having neighbouring borders and increased activity across their national bounds, there was an increased vulnerability to foreign disease and an increased opportunity for transmission.
The transmission across these borders is highlighted when considering the economy at the time. When considering the wider economic playing field of Eurasia, we can explore how economic factors contributed to the spread of disease, rather than the more commonly spoken ideas of economic consequences following such diseases.
In the 14th century, the steppes of Central Asia had been home to several nomadic empires for centuries. These empires had both facilitated and disrupted trade between Europe and Asia along the Silk Roads.
And this is the same trade that Mongol Empire gained control of by the end of the 13th century.
Right. According to Alexander Anivias, it was their keenness for intersocietal commerce that flourished trade between the East and West like never before.
How exactly did the trade along the Silk Roads contribute to the spread of the Black Death?
It is somewhat a traditional view upheld by historians such as William McNeill that following the origination of the Black Death in Asia, the disease travelled along the ancient trade routes that comprised the Silk Roads, reaching Europe and Africa, coinciding with the hypotheses regarding the arrival of the Black Death in Britain via trade.
This view is still contested, though. John Norris, for example, argues there is no documented evidence of Black Death symptoms among merchants travelling along the Silk Roads. O'Ull, Benedict Ho, also argues against McNeill, claiming that the Silk Roads, spanning over 8,000 kilometres, simply covered too much ground and took too long to travel for the disease to be effectively transported across them.
But there is still the aforementioned archaeological evidence that links the origins of the Black Death to China. In addition to this, it's known that the Black Death arrived in England, despite it being an island nation, meaning there must have been a route of transport from abroad.
There is another theory that the Mongols themselves were vectors of the disease due to the nomadic lifestyle along with their focuses on warfare and trade. It was the Mongols during the siege of the Kaffa in 1347 who were credited as the first documented users of biological warfare. It's alleged that their lobby plague infested corpses over the city's walls and that the survivors of the siege then fled to West Europe carrying the disease along with them.
People argue against this theory as well, though. Firstly, there are questions about the validity of the report regarding the supposed biological warfare. The narrative is derived from the memoir by the Italian Gabriele de Musi that, while plausible, is rather ambiguous. Secondly, and perhaps more significantly, some historians such as John Norris claim there was a breakdown within the Mongol Empire, as it has been divided into three separate competing khanates. Norris argues that commerce along the Silk Road had virtually collapsed, something that would have majorly hindered the Black Death's ability to be transported from far east to the west via these routes.
Norris's argument was, however, published in 1977. By refocusing on modern historiography, the acknowledgement that the Mongols being expelled from the Silk Roads in mid to late 14th century did not mean that trading routes were closed, but rather that they traded ownership, so to speak. in addition to the genetic evidence connecting the origins to China, means there is clear evidence that the Chinese economy, specifically trading practices, were a central contribution to the spread of the plague.
Personally, I would link the economic state to the value of the government at the time too, being thoroughly entwined with the global trade is an element of international policy after all.
I completely agree. We've already mentioned that China was part of the Mongol Empire during this period, but Mongol rule changed many aspects of Chinese society.
The Mongol nomads had a centralized bureaucracy and political subdivisions as a result of their monarchy, similar to that of England. This is what led them to establish the Yuan dynasty, which reigned from 1271 until 1368.
Under this new dynasty, the native Chinese people were pushed out of bureaucratic positions and found themselves lowered to the bottom of the social hierarchy, not just below the Mongols, but also viewed by the empire as lesser than foreign too.
If those in power didn't care for the Chinese population, isn't it possible that they didn't prioritize the management of the plague?
It's entirely possible, and definitely something that could be argued, but ultimately, it's likely that the Black Death was the undoing of the Mongols.
The Black Death is often associated with the downfall of the Yuan dynasty, and even the downfall of the Mongol rule as a whole. The political disruption created by the Black Death, particularly in the case of the prominent leaders dying, left China in a state of slow recovery, which was a catalyst for the Mongol downfall.
Zhu Yuanzhang watched his entire family be wiped out by the plague. He had to flee from disease and was dispatched to a Buddhist temple in his attempt to do so. But while at the temple, he found himself joining a resistance army against the Mongols, the Red Turban Rebellion.
Yuanzhang didn't just join the rebellion, he became the leader of it. With the rebellion, he was able to overthrow the Yuan dynasty and establish the Ming dynasty in 1368.
Many historians argue that had it not been for the Black Death, the Yuan dynasty would have lasted much longer.
Well, if it hadn't been for the Black Death, Yuanzhang would likely have not left his family, yet alone join the rebellion. The Yuan dynasty would not have just continued, it would have had confounding effects on future dynasties too.
The political downfall is just one consequence of the Black Death in China. George Sussman has said, it is impossible to believe that the plague did not affect China, a point particularly evident in the deaths of around 50% of China's population.
That's an astoundingly large number, especially when compared to modern-day pandemics such as COVID, where despite the drastic impact, less than 0.5% of China's population died.
With such devastations, Chinese physicians describe the Black Death as the great eternal sorrow of illness. But the plague changed more than just the death rates.
There were huge lifestyle changes that affected the nation dramatically. Perhaps the biggest change was the increased personal awareness of hygiene. The UN placed great emphasis on their personal hygiene and cleanliness, with people in the Qidang province being recorded to take approximately 3 baths a week, a dramatic increase compared to the occasional yearly baths most peasants in England were limited to.
The cost of public bathhouses in China was generally low, especially in comparison to the higher cost of bathing within England, making personal hygiene more widely available in China. Yu Mengjing has an insightful paper, a comparative study on bathing cultures and the spread of plague between China and the West, that further explores different levels of personal hygiene within Europe and China during the Black Death.
The increased levels of personal hygiene during the plague weren't dissimilar from what we saw during the COVID pandemic either. Promoting hygiene based on widely available resources follows the same basis advice issued to us by the government.
Outside of personal hygiene, there is an unfortunate lack of accessible records regarding the reaction to the Black Death in China. However, we can make assumptions on how people reacted to the Black Death by looking at earlier and later epidemics within the country.
Right. During the epidemic of 1181 to 1187, travel bans were imposed. And in the 1677 epidemic, local administrators tried to free areas from pestilence using religious means such as rituals. From this, we can see that Chinese epidemics tended to be considered seriously with the efforts made to limit both the disease and its transmission.
That concludes our overview on the Black Death in China. We've tried to explore a range of factors, particularly those mentioned in the 16 mark question. But if this is a topic you'd like to delve further into, we recommend looking at the articles we've mentioned throughout.
We hope you enjoyed exploring the topic with us, and thank you for taking the time to listen.